Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year to you. We awake, we alive. Good. My name is Darren. If we haven't met before, it's great having you here. If you're a guest, thanks for joining us online as well. Always appreciate that. Let me encourage you to open your Bibles and turn to John chapter 15. That's on page 1022. John chapter 15, page 1022. A number of us are reading through the Gospel of John here at the start of the year. In fact, it's not too late. One last shout out here with our famous QR codes. Join us if you can. We're only on chapter 2 today. So please, jump in. We started on the 1st. We're doing a little bit every day. And love to have you join us. We're looking at John 15 today, but we're reading through it all of this month and part of next month. So that will take you to the Bible app, and you can read with us. Let me pray for us as we get started. Lord, thank you for your word, the promises of your presence with us, and the invitation to abide with you. So would you show us today in your word what it means by your spirit to live life with you on a daily basis. Open us up to what you have for us today in your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, January 5th, 2025. It's going to be a big year. How many of us have set New Year's resolutions? Any New Year's resolutions here? Anyone? New Year, new you? Yes. I see some head shaking. Nah, no thanks. Maybe you're going to walk 10,000 steps a day. Maybe you're going to read a little bit more. Who knows? Maybe pick up the phone a little bit less. Maybe that's one. Maybe eat a few takeaways less. We like to talk a little bit about goal setting in our household. Here's mine. I think it's a big one, but please hold me accountable. I'm not going to touch a mince pie until at least December, later in the year. How about that? If you do tend to make resolutions at the new year, you're not alone. Research suggests that 38.5% of Americans set resolutions each year, but compare that to the 17% of people in the UK. That's an odd comparison, isn't it? It must be because American, it's that whole American approach, right? I don't know. Research says that younger adults are more likely to make New Year's resolutions than older adults. But here's the bad news, and you probably know it. It's probably what's turned us off from some of it. Only about 9% of individuals feel that they're successful in keeping them by the year end. The average resolution lasts for, can you guess? About 4 months. Studies say that 23% quit by the end of the first week. How are we doing, anybody? 43% quit by the end of January. I've got even more bad news for you, if you came for a cheery talk. Jesus did not come to this earth to help you with your New Year's resolutions. Simon shared in his message just before Christmas that the gospel is not a self-improvement project. But, and here's the good news, Jesus did come to be in a daily relationship with you. And that relationship will help you change and grow and bear good fruit. Jesus said it like this in this text that's in front of us today. I've got it here on the screen for you. In verse 5 of John 15, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus wants a daily relationship with you, not just a sometimes on Sunday relationship. And staying connected to him will help you grow and bear good fruit. So what do we do about that? What's our part in that? That's what we want to talk about here today. Jesus says it very simply in what we're about to read. He says, if you remain in me, that is to stay, to stay here, to move in, to live here with me. He says, if you do that, I will move in with you and stay, and I'll continue with you. So it's such a simple message. It doesn't mean that it's easy, but it's simple and it's clear. Jesus says, stay with me, continue with me. And this is where we want to start off our year together. As a church. Okay, so here's what we're going to see. Jesus repeats three simple ideas in this passage. remain connected to me. That is, stay connected to my love. Let my words remain in you, he says. Obey what I tell you to do. Follow my teachings. And then go and bear good fruit. Jesus says, let our relationship grow good things in your life and in the world around you. So what I'm going to do is just comment on this text here that we have in front of us. And then I'm hoping to make a link to us as Good Shepherd Mission as we look ahead to 2025 together. And then I'm going to offer a few really practical next steps. I think a few of us here later in the service are going to do that too. Okay, so let's read John chapter 15, just the first part. I'll read it here. John 15, starting in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Let me give a little bit of context or setting here for the book that we're looking at here. John is the author, and he's one of Jesus's followers. He's one of the disciples. And here we are listening in on Jesus in one of his final discussions with his followers. They're all gathered together after dinner. They've shared a good meal. And Jesus is introducing the first communion. He's talking about the bread and the cup that we're going to do later on here together this morning. And so Jesus is sharing some of his most important thoughts with them. He's telling them everything he wants to say before his death. And he starts by saying who he is. And he uses this word picture, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Verse 5, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He gives this picture of the vine and the vineyard, and this has been used to talk about God's people much earlier in the history of the Bible. I've got it up on the slide for you, but in Isaiah chapter 5, it says, the vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. I think Andy spoke on this passage, Isaiah 5, in our series not too long ago. Psalm 80 says this, you transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. Its branches reached as far as the sea, and its shoots as far as the river. This is talking about God's people, the people of Israel, and extends to God's people today, us, together, all who follow Jesus. Jesus says, he's not just a vine, he says, I am the true vine. And so Jesus says in a really clear command, remain in me. Remain in me. That word remain, if you look at it in this text, just the part I read, is said 11 times. I mean, that's repetition to make a point, isn't it? This word in other translations of the Bible comes across like this. So in the English Standard Version, it's abide. In the Easy English, I like this, it says continue. Continue. In the Message Bible, it says live in me. It says stay joined to me. The idea here is stay connected to me. Be united with me. It means be at home with and dwell together in a long-term relationship. He's saying live here. Don't just come and visit. Now, maybe you had some visitors come and stay with you during Christmas time, or maybe you got away and visited with someone else, but if they stuck around after Christmas and then New Year's, and then they were still kind of staying with you and maybe just kind of kindly moved in without a whole lot of discussion, you might think, maybe don't stay with me, don't remain with me. But here Jesus is saying, I want you to live here, I want you to move in with me. Don't just visit. Don't just visit. Some of this are starting, and perhaps even for you, it's just kind of gone a little bit stale. You're losing some of the energy. Live here. Live with me. Stay connected to me on a daily basis, even an hourly basis. And let me grow in you good things. And that doesn't always guarantee that things will be easy or fun. There will be some pain involved. Look at verse 2 there. Even the branches that do bear fruit get pruned. That is, they get cut back. They experience change or loss or what may feel like a setback in life. But why? Well, in order to be even more fruitful. So God, the good gardener, knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing in your life. And for maybe some of us here today, that's you, and it just feels like it's been a season of pain or pruning. Let me just encourage you again that God is a good gardener. He knows what he's doing. Jesus says, remain in me because it's the only way to bear fruit. Bearing fruit is just a way of describing the good things that can come out of a daily relationship with Jesus. And here's what happens when we don't live like this, when we don't stay connected to the true vine, then we stop growing and bearing good fruit. Look at verse 4. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Verse 6 says, we wither up and we die. So Jesus says, remain in me, stay connected to me, and good fruit will grow in your life. And let me just pause here too and say this. And I hope this is an encouragement to you. But when you're living like this, people can see the fruit. You know, fruit isn't an inside thing on the tree that you can't see. It's out there in full color for people to see. And let me just say, as one of the church leaders, it's so encouraging, it's so inspiring to us for us to see the good fruit in your lives. And we've seen some of that in this past year. It's so encouraging. Some of you are you're brand new to it all. And we can see that fruit growing on the vine. We love it, so keep it coming. And some of you have just been at it for so long, but you're showing us the fruit of many, many years of staying close to Jesus. And it's a beautiful thing to look at. It's so much, it's love watching you and learning from you as you stay connected to the vine. So thank you, Father God, for being such a great gardener here in our fellowship. I love that. Second point here, let my words remain, Jesus says. He mentions his words and his commands several times here in the text today. Did you see that? Did you catch that? Look at verse 3. It says, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. He's saying, I'm already at work in you because you're beginning to follow my teachings. This is kind of related to that same pruning that makes us holy, that helps us bear fruit, that cutting away of the bad stuff in our lives so that the good stuff can grow. Jesus says this happens when you get into my words and when my words get into you. One writer on this text, really appreciated David Ford, he says, to receive and digest the words of Jesus, taking them to heart and giving them constant attention, learning from him, that is to have him abiding in us. Look at verse 10. It says, if you keep my commands, that is, if you follow my teachings, you will remain in my love. And that's not just his words in us. It's our words back to him. Jesus mentions prayer as an example of bearing fruit. Look at verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. So, before you get super excited, this isn't just a wish list of whatever it is that you want on a whim. But when Jesus moves in with you and you live with him, when his words are in you and they begin to shape the things that you want and what you wish for, what you desire, then he delights to give you what you ask for. David Ford again says, what inspires and orients us to ask for anything? the desire to glorify God through bearing much fruit and becoming disciples of Jesus, who are learners who receive his words and abide in him. Another commentator says this: the connection is maintained by obedience to prayer, to remain in Christ and to allow his words to remain in oneself means a conscious acceptance of the authority of his word and a constant contact with him by prayer. Now, if you're in the steps, you recognize that as maybe step 11, right? Conscious contact with God. So Jesus says, remain in me and let my words remain in you. And then he tells us to bear good fruit. He repeats that 5 times as well in verses 2 and 4 and 5. Bear fruit. In the negative, when he's illustrated this in verse 2, he says he cuts off branches that stop growing fruit. And in verse 6, it says those branches are really good for firewood, but little else. But here's the positive, and it's really the why behind all of this. Why bear fruit? Because when you bear fruit, God gets the glory. Look at verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. If you see good fruit hanging on a tree, you don't tend to say to the fruit, you did it. Well done, you. You're such a great fruit. Just that picture, mental picture of Buddy the Elf. You did it, guys. Great job. It's the farmer who gets the credit. It's the farmer who gets the credit, the good gardener who prunes and who waters and who cuts away the bad stuff and he patiently grows what's good. It's the farmer that gets the credit. When followers of Jesus reveal themselves by the good fruit growing in their lives, God gets the glory. God gets the glory, but also, don't miss this, we get the joy. Do you see that in verse 11? I've told you this so that that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. So do you want more joy in your life? It may not be where you think it is. It isn't in the comforts and the pleasures that the world has to offer. Sure, there are those are good in the moment, but true and lasting joy, that's what Jesus calls complete joy, that comes by staying connected to Jesus. Letting his words sink deep into your soul. Learning to trust and to obey what he has to share. Just try that and watch what happens. You know, I've been a Christian for a long time, and I've had my ups and my downs. And I just want to say that nothing has changed my life more than letting God's words really get into me and change me from the inside out. And look, I still have a long way to go. I know that. So many of you know that as well. But I have to say, and especially in the last 5 years, God's words in my life have been a lifeline. I don't know why it took me so long. Oh, I wish it had been sooner, but I finally am starting to get it. And yeah, I'm talking about what a day looks like when I've had time with God and I've been in his word compared to a day when I haven't. But what I'm really talking about is what 1,000 days like that are like. Or maybe 2,000. Or 10,000. But don't be misled. No one can perfectly keep God's commands. Jesus did. And he's not only our perfect example, he's the very life of the vine that allows us to remain close to him and bear fruit. He's the perfect human. God with us, and yet without sin. In verse 10, he said it like this: if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Jen read from Philippians 2 earlier. He was obedient to the point of death, and he died for us so that we could live. So right here in the text, we didn't read it, but look at verse 13. He goes on to say, greater love has no one than this, but to lay down one's life for his friends. And by the way, I've called you friends, he says. In Hebrews chapter 12, he says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus is saying, that's my kind of joy. In John, I love that. That's a good one. Keep it going. John 15:11. Now look at this with me. He says, I want you to have my kind of joy too. I want you to have full and complete joy because you're connected to me. I told you this, my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So friends, if you're not yet a follower of Jesus today, let me encourage you that it's this kind of joy that's on offer today. That kind of joy that would take Jesus to the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. Jesus died and rose again so that we could live in a daily, abiding relationship with him for eternity. And guess what? That eternity begins now. It begins today. So what does all of this have to do with us today in 2025? You know, call it New Year's resolutions, call it what you want, but what does it have to do with us today? You know, remaining isn't passive. You can't do it by accident. You need to have a plan. You need to have purpose. It's a relationship that needs to be nurtured and maintained. So we have to pursue it with some kind of intentionality. It doesn't just happen by accident. But we also can't do it in our own strength and in our own effort. That's why in John 15, chapter 5, Jesus says, if you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. So D.A. Carson, a commentator, a preacher, and writer, says this requires continuous dependence on the vine, constant reliance on him, he says, persistent spiritual imbibing on his life. Another simple way to say that would be daily habits with Jesus, that's what I would call it. Some people would call it spiritual discipline. I love this quote from John Mark Comer. He says this, show me a person's habits, and I will show you what they are truly most passionate about, most dedicated to, most willing to suffer for, and most in love with. And I will show you who they will become. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Think about your daily habits. We all have habits, every one of us, all the time. Some are good. Some are bad. Think about just coming into church on a Sunday morning. How do you typically walk in? Some of us head straight to the coffee window. Some of us put our coats down, usually in the same exact seats as the previous week. Maybe we start to have a chat. Some of us don't make it past the entrance until we're dragged in once the service starts. All of that is habit. It's how you start your day and move through your life every day without thinking, almost without thinking. So here's the question. Are your habits bearing, are they growing good fruit? If your habits tell you who you're going to become, what kind of fruit are you growing? When you pause and think about your habits, you can begin to make choices. You can consider the bad habits that you want to lose, and you can consider the good habits that you want to try and put into practice. That's part of what it means when Jesus says, remain in me, stay connected to me, build daily habits that keep you close to me so that I can help you grow good fruit in your life. So if you were around for most of 2024, you would have heard us as a church talking about and teaching on themes for the year. Do you remember them? Hunger, holiness, and harvest. And for this year, we have a sense that we're not quite finished with these. The invitation from Jesus is for us to remain in him, to continue with these things. And so our encouragement to us as GSM for 2025 is that we would stay hungry, that we would stay holy, that we'd stay focused on the harvest together. Just looking at our text here today, stay hungry. Jesus says, remain in my love. And that means building habits of spending time with Jesus. And we can do that when we worship together. A lot of us do that in praise. When we participate in communion. We have these monthly days of fasting on the eighth day of the month. And fasting might be a new thing for you. But when we fast, when we pray, we're cultivating a habit of dependence on God. We stay hungry. We can stay holy together. Jesus says, let my words remain in you. Let them do the work of cutting away the bad stuff and growing the good stuff. Let my words remain in you. And we can do that by reading the scripture alone or together. Now you can join the Gospel of John read-through. Build that daily habit. Some people have found value in reading a psalm every day. You know, we've got Bible studies that happen through the week. We've got a home group you can take part in. When Jesus says, keep my commands, we learn to build habits of obedience. Look at verse 12 with me. There in the text, my command is this. It says, love each other as I have loved you. So these are the things we practice sometimes in community. Obedience. Sacrificial giving. You know, the hard work of forgiveness. The hard work of hospitality. Seeking out accountability. You know, making sure you're walking with others and they're challenging you and speaking into your life. These are some of the ways that we love each other and we help each other grow. So stay holy together. And then Jesus encourages us to continue to bear fruit. And we're going to talk about that in terms of staying focused on harvest. And harvest works two ways. It works inside and it works out. You know, we bear fruit in our own lives, and that's the fruit of the Spirit. It's our characters. As we practice these habits, things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, they take over. They become part of who we are. But second is staying productive for the kingdom, and that means keeping our focus on the harvest of new people becoming followers of Jesus. That might look like giving your time to the activities of the mission through the week to love our neighbors and to see lives changed. May not be here at the church, might be at work or on your street, but just doing something where people catch a vision for what life with Jesus looks like. It also means to pray for others to know and to follow Jesus. I think that's what Jesus' command here is really all about. Ask me for whatever you wish and I'll grant it. Because you're praying for people to come and know me in the harvest. So we continue to ask the Lord of the harvest for more workers, for people that we know and love to come to follow him. Those are just a few of the examples of habits that we can pick up in order to remain close to Jesus as we continue to live out these themes of hunger, holiness, and harvest in 2025. We read this passage, John 15, as a leadership team at our final meeting of 2024. I think it was early December, so about a month ago. And there was a quiet excitement around the table, I would say. And I got to say, like, this isn't just a recycle of our themes from 2024 because we couldn't come up with something better. It was a stirring invitation from the Holy Spirit that was just leaping off the pages of Scripture. Stay here. Remain here. Continue this stuff. Don't move on too early. And so, Good Shepherd Mission, take this as an encouragement and an invitation to all of us for 2025. Together, let us stay hungry for God. And let us stay holy. And let's stay eager and ready to pursue the harvest. Let me pray for us as we move into this year and time around the communion table. Father, apart from you, we can do nothing. And so my prayer wouldn't be that amazing things would happen, but that you would just keep us close to you, close to your heart. Your words transforming us from the inside out. Your people encouraging and challenging us around us to speak truth. Apart from you, we can do nothing. So we don't want to take another step into 2025, God, without you. The good gardener at work, keeping us connected to the body. so we ask, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, would you do the work that only you can do to transform us as your people from the inside out? And I pray that that would have ripple effects to our community, our neighbors, the people in the streets around us, in Jesus' name.